Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. We start our second of 3 hours. It is good to be back after a long holiday weekend. What's going on? How's everybody feeling? Live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Once again, we are wide open right now. I've got two interviews coming up at the top of hour number three. Tariq Cohen, Bears running back, joins us. They look great. Bruce Feldman right after that. So we go back to back at the top of hour three, meaning you should call me right now. NFL, college football, cat feet fat, whatever you want to talk about. But do it this hour. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686. Chris in St. Pete tweets, Rome, get to the greatest event ever in the history of mankind. Phil V. Cat, all my coworkers couldn't stop talking about it today. I can get there. I can do that. How many of you suckers not named Hawk and Chael Jr. actually threw down for that event? How many of you? Forget watching the match. All right, the match, the so-called match. Forget watching it. Did you actually hear it? Not watch it, but hear it. And by hear the match, what I really mean is, did you hear the breath? Not the match, but the breath. Because somebody was out there breathing awfully heavy throughout the entire round. The mics were supposed to be there to pick up the conversation between the two golfers. You know, maybe pick up some great smack talk. But Tiger and Phil couldn't even manage that. Instead of talking to each other, they just marched around breathing. Folks in the truck, I mean, feel free to dial back on the mics a little bit. Because nobody needs to pay money to hear some guy wheezing and gasping his way around the course. I guess I should probably do the professional thing and talk about the news coming out of that circus. The news being that Phil actually won. But then again, is anybody anywhere even talking about that? Does anybody anywhere even know who won? The only news coming out of that match is bad news. And if you want to say that that thing did not deliver, that that's not what you expected, that that's not what you signed up for, you got this all wrong. Dead wrong. It was exactly what you should have expected. Essentially, exactly what I said it would be. So it delivered. It completely delivered. People were paying $20 to watch a couple of past their prime golfers show up for a big, fat, breathy cash grab. What did you think that was going to be? Did you actually think that was going to provide some level of pay-per-view action? Did you think that might be kind of cool, kind of fresh, compelling, competitive, with a lot of smack talk and a lot of side action? Hell no. And your first hint should have been the fact that Samuel L. Jackson said it himself in the opening. Quote, "It's golf, man. How excited can you be?" End quote. Answer, not very. Especially when the golfers who are participating in the cash grab aren't all that hyped either. I mean, I don't know if it was the tension of playing for all that money that most definitely wasn't already divided up between the two of them before the hand, or before it started, allegedly. Or the fact that they just don't give a damn. But there was none of that alleged action that was part of the promotion of that sideshow. That was 5 hours of non-exciting golf shots and a crap load of breathing. Heavy freaking breathing. You paid $20 to hear a couple of guys breathe. I mean, what about those side bets that everybody was supposedly so hyped about? Yeah, not many of those were there. And the ones that did happen were pretty much as boring as you could possibly imagine. And what about that shootout? What about the old shootout between a couple of rivals? Yeah, nah. Felt more like a couple of old guys chunking it up and conceding one putt after another. How about the final three holes being played on a 93-yard hole under the lights? Yeah, because that was supposed to be so exciting. It wasn't. In fact, I wasn't sure that thing was ever going to end. As Charles Barkley himself said,
"Am I allowed to talk?
Yeah, man.
I just want to know something, America. This is some crappy golf. Y'all know that."
That's Chuck. How crappy is the golf if the Chuckster is saying the golf is crappy? How crappy is the golf if Charles Barkley says the golf is crappy and he's one of the broadcasters? And then, of course, on top of all that, even worse, the pay-per-view system went down and a bunch of people ended up getting it for free. In fact, the system going down is probably the only thing that actually kept that thing in the news by Monday, because that vanished without a sound on Friday. Well, except for the one sound, the sound of breathing. Heavy, heavy breathing. Years from now, when I think of the match, if I ever think of the match ever again, that's what I'm going to remember. That's what I'm going to think about. The breathing. Twitter had Darth Vader and Tony Soprano jokes for days. Phil was selling that match hard last week, saying that people who didn't buy it would have serious FOMO, fear of missing out. My man, based on that mic work, you should have serious fear of missing breath, because that was a nightmare. This guy's a black belt? He needs to take off that black belt and get on a treadmill. Stat. I thought I was going to hear an on-air death. Forget counting strokes. I thought somebody was going to have a stroke. Was this guy playing 18 holes or running 18 miles? I couldn't decide whether they needed to get him a cart or an ambulance. So that was every bit the crap show that you had to know that it would be. Only worse. And again, my biggest regret was telling you all that I wouldn't have a take on it because there was no way in hell I'd watch that. But I did. I did. As I mentioned, the family was around, and as soon as the cousins and nieces and nephews found out it would be free, because you know I wasn't paying for it, they got in front of the laptop, and I got suckered into it. I admit it. Couldn't take my eyes off it. I saw it, even though I promised I wouldn't, and I hate myself for it. Did any of you suckers not named Hawk and Keith actually pay for that? Hopefully you get your money back. This email reads, "Hi, Jim. What a great holiday weekend. I can't believe crowds of people braved the temperatures enough to go out and watch a giant float working and struggling to stay upright in the wind. And he beat Tiger. Way to go, Phil." Signed, Sarah T. Salty as ever. Sarah T. Providence, Rhode Island. Dear Rome, Michigan fans are getting their money's worth and more with Harbag. Signed, losers who ponied up for the cat versus the fat.
Fat.
War Thefty Hefty telling disappointed customers to toughen up.
You know, toughen up.
Through a mouthful of cake. Matt in Vancouver's on it. Yeah, because Matt in Vancouver wasn't going to have something to say about an overweight American. War Thefty Hefty telling disappointed customers to, quote, toughen up through a mouthful of cake.
You know, toughen up.
Hey, Snag. Harbaugh coaches like he performed in the smack off. Not trying to win it at all. Just happy to be there. Regards, Scott in the Bay. War, that's two for me today.
Romy, it's good to be on the smack off. I just want to say thanks for taking my call and, I'd like to wish everybody out there a very happy holiday, and I don't really have a whole lot of smack to say today. It's a holiday and a day of peace and harmony, kind of like Fuzzy and Tiger playing in the Masters. But I want to wish everybody and their families a happy holiday, except for some of your clones who don't really have families and are behind on their child support payments, like your boy Sean in Syracuse. Tell that clone to get a life.
That's a real thing. That happened. That was Jim Harbaugh in the smack off. We used to put celebrities / athletes / coaches in the smack off. That was Jim Harbaugh in the actual smack off, cracking on clones. Even name checked one. Hey, John in Syracuse. Or was it Sean in Syracuse? Whoever the hell that was. Tell Harbaugh how his ass tastes. How that feels, Sean. Take that, Sean. Whoever you are, pay your child support. Get a life. Harbaugh said so. That was 1998. Man, it all comes around, doesn't it? That guy was in the smack off. That guy used to listen to the show and participate. He was in the smack off. Hey, Herb, if you want in next year, you're not invited.
Tell that clone to get a life.
Tell that coach to get an offense. Tell that coach to get a defense. Tell that coach to stop getting humiliated every time he runs into his rival. The first Michigan coach, the alleged savior, is the first one to go 0-4 against Ohio State to start. Tell that clone to get a life. Tell that coach to get a clue. Tell that clone to get a life. Tell that coach to make an adjustment. And the defense is certainly no better. And don't look now, Ohio State's still alive. 1-800. But again, don't you come in here and make Herb out to be some sort of hero. I've been seeing some of that, hearing some of that. You best not do that. You best take a look in the mirror instead. Also, in addition to all of that, the Packers get beaten again. And again, I'm not looking to cost anybody their job, but you got to wonder about their situation. Ohio State v. Michigan. Yes, I also have thoughts on Cordarrelle Patterson. That was some quote, wasn't it? I will get into that a little bit later on. 1-800-636-8686. Notre Dame and USC. Clay Helton still has a gig after getting beaten by both their rivals. Lots of college football to get to that I haven't covered yet. At Alpha the Duck tweets, seriously, who actually threw down for, quote, the match? Biggest cash grab since Hugh Jackman did that robot movie.
Let's make some money!
Yeah, we had some fun with that one, didn't we? And then corporate said, yeah, you can stop doing that now. Why? Oh, you're involved with the movie. Biggest cash grab ever. Come on, man. This guy's out there doing a movie on Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Let's make some money!
He said it himself. Hey, Rome, listening to Tiger and Phil was music to our ears. Regards, CPAP machines. Steve and PHX. Yeah, I knew that'd be bad. Obviously. I mean, I'm not right about everything, but I knew I'd be right about that. But it was so much worse than I thought. Dear Jim, even I can't believe how hard Phil and Eldrick were breathing. Regards, Paul in El Paso. War subject Manning. Tony from Iowa City. War Iowa beating Nebraska for a fourth year in a row. Paul in El Paso.
Hey, Rome. That was a good fight Saturday. What do they want? I got to die? I saw him get punched in the head. Then he got hit in the temple. His eyes rolled back. He went out. When it comes to boxing, do us a favor. Pimp David Rodriguez. He's the real deal out here. Heavyweight. I've been listening to you since you were dropping. Sergeant Manning. Mollard.
Man, that was a great pull on that guy. Very breathy. Very breathy. Tariq Cohen coming up next hour. Bruce Feldman also coming up next hour. I'm looking for a good telephone call. I'm not looking for phone calls. I get lots of phone calls. What I'm looking for is a good telephone call. You know, there is something to be said for being the best. You know, when you've outrun, outpaced, outsmarted the competition, elite athletes know you cannot be the best until you have beaten the best. And if you want to compete at the highest level, you've got to be strong and you have to stay strong like Castrol Edge. The strongest full synthetic motor oil engineered with fluid titanium technology to reduce power-robbing friction to maximize engine performance. Did you know that friction can rob 10% of performance from your engine? So let's do some math. Imagine you line up across from somebody who's at 100% when you're at 90. He has the advantage. Castrol Edge is strong under pressure, reducing friction so your engine can perform at its highest level. It's not only strong, it is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That's not just me saying that. That was tested officially in the Kurt Orban test.
Kurt Orban.
The strength your engine needs to perform at its highest level and to keep you living on the edge, Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure, Castrol Edge.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Yeah. CBS's Super Bowl season marches into December with regional action on Sunday. Baltimore is going to battle Atlanta. Ravens try to stay alive in the wild card hunt. Patrick Mahomes drives the Kansas City Chiefs into Oakland for an AFC Western matchup. You want to check your local listings, get your day started with the NFL today at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS, and I will be back in New York for that. Hyped, as always. 1-800-636-8686. I'll tell you something else I'm getting, and I haven't gotten into this yet, but it's all the rage, both on Twitter and on email. NFC North, Viking fans talking junk about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Packer fans beside themselves getting beaten last night. Hey, let me just say this. Where were those big, bad Vikings when I went all in for them and with them on the NFL on CBS? And Chicago embarrassed them. Viking fan, where the hell were you then? Better yet, where was your team then? But they got over last night. So I want to talk NFC North in a minute. But first, we go to the phones. Let's go to Buffalo. Hey, one thing about Buffalo, before I go to Buffalo, did you check out the Bills Act yesterday? You check out the Bills. With literally nothing to play for, standing in, had their quarterbacks back, making a statement. And Jacksonville just laying down again. The Jags. Buffalo at least is fighting back, at least showing some heart. And don't tell me like Leonard Fournette showed heart and fought back. That was a tie game when that went down. Is there anything dumber than NFL players giving each other the hands while they're wearing helmets? Tell me something dumber than that. Having said all that, let's go to Buffalo. Rick in Buffalo. Rick, what's going on?
Being right never gets old, Jim. And boy, did I have myself a weekend. Jalen Ramsey looked like an idiot for running his mouth. I was right. Doug Marrone's an incompetent fat ass. I was right. And that overhyped, overweight pile of dog crap, Jim Harbaugh, can't win the big game. It never felt so friggin' good being so friggin' right. Saying Harbaugh crapped his pants Saturday afternoon doesn't even scratch the friggin' surface. In 35 years of watching college football, I've never seen a bigger choke job. It was so bad, even that jock-sniffing, hero-worshipping fanboy Mark in Boston had no excuses for his Lord and Savior. And Harbaugh made my day even better when he went all-out two-year-old and ran out of the post-game presser. The entire college football world got to see he's nothing more than a classless, gutless, spineless, cowardly little bitch. But keep on rooting for him, Michigan football man. Just more evidence of how stupid you really are. And don't you dare hop on the Michigan basketball bandwagon. We don't want your type, and we sure as hell don't need your type. War John Beilein's 800 career wins. War the Sabres' 9-game winning streak. It's no coincidence they haven't lost since we announced the Buffalo Jungle outing. Thanks for the vine, Jim. I'm out.
Rock him again. Rick in Buffalo. He's angry. He's violent. He threatens people. And he had himself a weekend. Rick in Buffalo, 1-800-636-8686. All right, going to the stack of emails quickly to set this up. Dear Jim. Another game, another loss, another week where Aaron Rodgers gets outplayed by the quarterback on the other team. I haven't seen a QB fall this far since Broadway Joe tried to French Susie Colbert. Dude wasn't even the best Aaron on his own team last night. Signed Brett from Bugaha, Vikings standard bearer. ATP for Packer fans. You like that?
You like that?
You like that?
You like that? You like that?
Look at her. She's back. Hi, Jim. Aaron Rodgers is the most spoiled sport on the planet. He's supposed to be the GOAT, but he never wins anything. And I'm sick of looking at his sour face sticking out of that stupid yellow helmet. Sarah T. Getting saltier. Saltier this hour than she was last hour. It's probably got nothing to do with the fact, Sarah, that guy frequently is compared to your guy, that guy frequently is believed to be better than your guy, that guy is thought to be the GOAT over your guy. It's got nothing to do with that, right? Sarah T. in Providence, Rhode Island. She's looking to break her record. You know she wants a third one so badly. A third email read, I mean. Dear Rome, can we touch on the disaster which is going on in Green Bay right now? With their season on the line, in the last two games, they score 3 points in the second half of each. That is unacceptable with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. Not that he shouldn't take some heat too, but it's mostly on coaching. Hopefully Mike McCarthy is out of a job by the time this show is over today. Joe and Superior, war jousting. I've got something to say about jousting. You like that?
You like that?
I like jousting. I still like jousting. I like that.
You like that?
So how much of that's on coaching staff? How much of that's on the quarterback? How much of that is on the guys around him? Dear Romes, Aaron freaking Rodgers, more like Kirk freaking Cousins. Rodgers had some pretty pedestrian numbers last night. 199 passing yards. He plays better hurt than healthy. I hope someone got the license plate number of that purple bus that ran over his ass last night. 0-6 on the road this year. Signed, Chris. True. They have not won away from Lambeau. In fact, they're working a long losing streak away from Lambeau. Couldn't be going any worse. Sunday night was not just a big-time rivalry in the NFC North with the Vikings and Packers. I mean, that was essentially an elimination game. Essentially. Like, win and you're still in the mix in a wild-card bid. Lose and you're buying mixers for that cabana that you may as well rent for January. Because look at the Bears. Again, I've got Tariq Cohen coming up top of the hour. They just keep right on trucking. After they dropped the hammer on Minnesota last Sunday, they go into the D and they ruin Thanksgiving for Matty P. And they did it with Chase Daniel at quarterback. When you're pulling a dude off the sideline with two career starts in a decade of clipboard work, and then you're out-dueling Matt Stafford, then you know you've got that thing rolling. Chase Daniel. This guy hadn't been unleashed since he was going in on the Big 12 at Mizzou back in 08. Yet this past few days, this guy was ripping ham off the two Matt's plates, going 27 for 37 with two TDs and no picks. Big, big performance for the big man. And another reason why I just should not have doubted the Bears in the first place. Which brings me to last night. I need some time on that, so let me stop right there. I'm just giving the Bears a little bit of credit, and we're talking NFC North football. How much of this is on the quarterback, and how much of this is on the coach? And how hot is Mike McCarthy's seat right now? Rand St. Paul tweets, Ricks, never seen a bigger choke job? Well, that's a relief. Signed, Scott Norwood. Man, you act like that was some kind of chip shot or something. Guy's got a bad rap. That was no chippy. That wasn't like some 21-yard field goal to win a Super Bowl. That was not an easy kick. That was a long kick. And Rand St. Paul, I'm going to go with Rick. That was a bigger choke job. Again, Michigan football has never allowed more points in a football game ever. And they did so against their biggest rival in a year when it was all set up and they were allegedly in the same conversation with Alabama. The alleged one team that could stand in and trade with Alabama. And they just had 62 dropped on them by their biggest rival. Norwood missed a 47-yard field goal. Again, not 27 yards, not even 37 yards, 47 yards. I mean, sure, he's paid to make that kick. But don't make that thing out to be like it was a point after. No, Rick had that right. As usual, Rick was right. Tariq Cohen, top of the hour. Bruce Feldman coming up next hour. More on the Packers, and where do they go now? After last night's debacle. By USC. Clay Helton still has his gig. UCLA did them. Notre Dame beat them. And Clay has a gig. Oh, that's still ahead. And I'm still looking for good, good telephone calls. I've gotten one. No matter what, I've got one racked. Can you get in here as well? Never too soon to start thinking smack off. Let's get you a sports update right now. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you want to compete at the highest level, remember, you've got to stay strong. Be strong, stay strong, like Castrol Edge, the strongest full synthetic motor oil, three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That, according to the Kurt Orban test, Castrol Edge, it is stronger under pressure. Tariq Cohen, top of the hour. Bruce Feldman right after that. Now is the good time to call. 1-800-636-8686. Just banging right through it, covering a lot of different topics. One thing I've not talked about is this. You know, those transcendent moments, those moments in life where we all know exactly where we were and what we were doing when something that you'll never forget goes down. Transcendent moments. So I think that that said, it would be appropriate for me to ask you today, where were you when Patriots running back Cordarrelle Patterson grabbed a fistful of Jets defensive end Henry Anderson? More specifically, well, I should say this take is graphic in nature. Just no going in. I mean, we already started to go in, but it's not too late to turn back. This take is graphic in nature. You've been warned. So where were you specifically when Cordarrelle Patterson grabbed a fistful of Henry Anderson's man parts and did so on camera and squeezed hard until Anderson fell lifelessly onto his back? Where were you? I think by now we've all seen that play. And I've got to be very careful how I talk about that play because, in fact, it is graphic in nature. But we've all seen that play. It's plastered all over Twitter. It's on essentially every sports blog ever. Patterson ran for a one-yard gain. Just 1 yard, measly one-yard gain early in the fourth. He gets tackled by Anderson. And on their way up from the turf, cameras painfully yet perfectly catch Patterson putting Anderson's entire package into a chokehold. The hand clamp on his junk lasted nearly 4 seconds before Anderson finally wilted, fell backwards from his knees with the kind of paralyzing pain that the entire male population could feel through their flat screens. We've all been there to a certain extent. It was as if every dude watching sucked back an entire helium balloon and announced their impending death.
Time to die.
That. Now, if you thought putting a coin purse into a manual juicer was savage and dirty, wait until you hear Cordarrelle Patterson explain himself why he did. The Pats running back told the New York Post, quote, "The man was all in my face, trying to put his bleep in my face. I try to move him out of there. I'm a grown man. I don't need anybody's bleep and bleep and bleep in my face, man." End quote. So I heard the explanation, but maybe I missed the apology. Maybe I missed that part where he apologized for logging and recording the first ever statistical sack by a running back. But even more peculiar than the missing apology is that Patterson saying that Anderson's bleep and bleep and bleep were all up in his face. I mean, how? Last I checked, Anderson was fully clothed, wearing a face mask. Patterson was. So how is anybody's bleep and bleep and bleep and bleep in anybody's face? And how is Patterson about to defend wringing out another man's chamois cloth just because his bleep and bleep and bleep was allegedly in the proximity of his face? I guess what I'm getting at is the guy just tackled you, dude. He tackled you. What was he supposed to do? It was a one-yard gain, and he tackled you. Like, I understand that in a pile, and you've always heard the horrors of what goes on in a pile, the extracurriculars that go on in a pile. I get that. But that really wasn't a pile. That was just a solo tackle after a one-yard gain. Pretty standard play. And for what it's worth, Henry Anderson played it off like the tough guy that he is. Didn't really seem to care about it. Wasn't going to make it a deal. Wasn't going to make a real big issue out of it. Didn't really seem to care when talking to the media afterwards. However, his fiance was a little less apathetic. She tweeted in response to the viral video, and I quote, "Not cool. That's my boo." End quote. That's a good line. That is your boo. Your boo and future husband and hopefully still future father of your children. If everything is still intact and everything still works properly, as if being a New York Jet were not bad enough. If I'm Henry Anderson, I'm going to take advantage of Cyber Monday and buy myself a cup. And then I'm going to send the bill to Cordero Patterson with a note that says, Deflategate 2. Perfect time to do some online shopping, as I'm sure my man's laid up on the couch today, sitting on a bag of frozen peas. Godspeed with the recovery, Henry. Godspeed. That was wild. And I can't say what he said, but you know what he said. That was tough enough even talking about without getting into what he actually said. 1-800-636-8686. Not cool. That's my boo. And hopefully still, the future father of your children, if it all still works properly, if it's all still good. All right, let's get to the phones. Looking for some reaction. Browns, America's team. I'm still looking for a Browns fan to get up in here. And how they did Hugh Jackson. And Hugh didn't even know it. Rome, we think Randall's move was classic. Signed the ex-girlfriend that runs to social media to post a new default pic with her new boyfriend shortly after dumping her previous. Signed John in Huntington Beach. Always the dumper, not the dumpy. Come on, John. You know that's not true.
Hey, John. Yeah.
I'm still kind of befuddled by the whole thing. Randall gets the interception. Instead of taking advantage of running it back, runs to the sideline to hand the ball to Hugh, and Hugh thinks that's some kind of magnanimous gesture, like, wow, they really like me. He likes me.
Thank you for the ball.
Here, former coach, thank you for the ball. It's not what he meant. He took the ball, kind of sheepishly patted him on the helmet, like, oh, thanks, bro. Oh, I don't want this. Oh, he clowned me. Like, Hugh had no idea. He was totally oblivious. Even more oblivious than he was when he was going 1-31. Even more oblivious than the Browns ownership was when they let him go 1-31. This guy's not buying Baker Mayfield. Rome, this guy is bad-mouthing Hugh for going to the Bengals. Is a tool. He was a tool at OU. He always will be a tool. Wore Mac Brown to Carolina. Troy and Wichita. All right, that's pretty interesting. Did he or they have a right to be upset with Hugh Jackson for going to the enemy? Like, back to it, Alvin. Why don't you find that sound for me? Back to the sound. Baker's explanation was, now wait a minute. This is the same guy that was in our locker room asking us to play for him. And now this guy's going to the enemy to try to beat us? Thought that was kind of weird. That's Baker's take.
Left Cleveland, goes down to Cincinnati. I don't know. That's just somebody that was in our locker room asking for us to play for him and then goes to a different team. We play twice a year. everybody can have their spin on it, but that's how I feel.
Hate to be the guy in the middle of this, but I do see it both ways. Yeah, I don't have a problem with Hugh going over there. He got fired. Hugh got fired, right? So when you get traded or when you get cut, don't you want to beat the hell out of the team that just cut you or traded you? Hugh did need a job. And Hugh's tight with Marvin. And Marvin thought that Hugh might be able to help the defense or help them out, I should say. And then on top of that, he knows them intimately, and they're going to play them two more times this year. So I understand why Hugh went there, and I understand why Marvin brought him in. You think Hugh was going to say no to that? He got fired. I have no problem with him going there. That said, I've got no problem with Baker saying what Baker said. Again, Baker Mayfield is one of the biggest fuel guys anywhere. I've never met an athlete that didn't try to find some edge somehow, some way. I never met an athlete that didn't try to find a chip to put on their shoulder. I mean, to varying degrees, of course. Not all these guys are like this. Baker Mayfield, and I mean this as a compliment, Baker Mayfield is bigger in that respect than almost anybody I've ever seen in my life. He is a huge fuel guy. And if he got fuel out of his former head coach going to the other side and used that to his advantage, and he did. One, Randall intercepted the pass and walked it over to him. So it's not only Baker Mayfield. Yeah, Randall. Not that Randall. Demarius Randall. So this is not a Baker Mayfield thing, per se. They all felt it. It's a Browns thing. Notice I didn't see any of those guys going out of their way to hug on Hugh after that game. I saw Hugh go out of his way to try to hug on Baker. And like I mentioned, Baker went all Darrell Revis with it. Got down to a crouch. Perfect backpedal. He wasn't going to hug him. He shook his hand. Gave him the dead fish. They're America's team, man. They're so entertaining. Even if they are beating up on a hapless Bengals team, that's entertaining in and of itself. I got news for you. Packers have the same record. Hey, Rome, what is Patterson complaining about? My wife has my junk in a jar. Regards, crying Jeff in San Antonio.
Or me and my fiance.
Geoff in Lincoln sent that. I'll tell you what, Geoff, quote, crying Jeff in San Antonio is going to have the last laugh. You wait till he and 45 get together on that baby Jordan brand. Last time Jeff in San Antonio called, he said that he was actually efforting Mike Jordan, efforting 45, trying to get out there and say, hey, man, I got this great idea. You have the Jordan brand, right, 45? Yes. Well, if I had a way to make you even more money, Mike, would you be interested? Well, yes, Jeff in San Antonio, I would. What do you got? All right, Mike, are you sitting? Listen to this. Baby Jordan. I have a baby. That baby's name is Jordan. You can make baby athletic gear. Baby Jordan. Oh, what's your name again? It's Jeff. Jeff in San Antonio from the Jim Rome Show. Mr. Jordan. I like where your head's at, Jeff.
I wish you guys nothing but best.
I'm telling you, Geoff, and the rest of you clowning Jeff in San Antonio, he's going to get that last laugh when that baby Jordan brand hits. Ryan on H-Town tweets, why is Cordarrelle Patterson, or what is Cordarrelle Patterson supposed to do? You're supposed to call up the Jim Rome Show and tell him about, yeah, I'm not going to read that. All right. Coming up next hour, we go back-to-back. Tariq Cohen, Bears running back, is going to join me. Bruce Feldman comes right up after that. So we're talking Bears football, then we're talking college football, and then we're open. Coming up later on today, the RPO podcast. Trevor Price and I talk about the NFL weekend. We get Price's picks. He's back on a roll once again. We'll talk about the Monday night matchup, the Thursday night matchup, all things NFL. And probably some story time with Trevor Price. That's coming up later on today. Tariq Cohen joins me when we come back. Stay tuned.